You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, New York Mets. Matt Wehmeyer alongside Jeff Nelson. We're joined on the phone right now by Anthony DiComo, MLB.com Mets reporter. Anthony, thanks very much for joining us. The Mets in 2014, middle of the pack in the NL East at 79-83, but I got to think there's a lot of optimism in camp, given all the young pitching that the Mets have coming into play.
Oh, yeah. This is probably, if you look at it, the most optimistic the Mets have been since probably 2009, back when they were coming off back-to-back collapses, so to speak. And, you know, they went into the 2009 year with a lot of injuries throughout the year that affected what they did. But since that time, you know, it's been fourth place after fourth place after fourth place, and they really struggled to get anything going. They really feel that this is the year that could change. They love the pitching staff they have in place, particularly with Matt Harvey coming back. They like what they've done with the lineup. They think the addition of Michael Kadire does a lot. They think they've got some nice young pieces who can stand to improve this year. So you put all that together, add in what looks like a very good bullpen, and yeah, there's a lot of optimism. Probably not as much as just up the road where the Washington Nationals train these days, but the Mets think they can compete with those guys and they can compete with everyone else in the division and really make a run at the playoffs this year.
You know, another transition, Anthony, you know, you look at the offense, last, almost 12th in the National League in average is Kevin Long, going from the Yankees to the Mets, the hitting instructor. What kind of difference do you think he'll make? He was with Curtis Granderson before when he was with the Yankees. What do you think he can do for this offense, maybe turn things around?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head mentioning Granderson. You know, when these two work together with the Yankees, that's when Granderson had his two best years as a professional, hitting 40 home runs both times. And not to say Granderson can do that magically once again now that he's with Long. I don't think he's probably ever going to hit 40 home runs again, but he can certainly do better than he did last year. I think he'd admit that. And why not with Kevin Long, a guy who knows his swing probably better than anyone on earth, to unlock something? You know, as far as the rest of the team, is Kevin Long going to make this from a team that finished middle to lower end of the pack in offense last year all of a sudden a standout offense? No, of course not. The Mets still have some holes there, some deficiencies, some things you're worried about when you look at what the offense looks like. But this guy has credentials. He did a lot of things with a lot of players in New York. And, you know, one thing that I found interesting was he mentioned at the start of camp, comparing Juan Lagares, who's a young center fielder here with a lot of potential, to Robinson Cano, you know, a guy with all the tools he would want, but struggled with plate discipline. So it's things like that, experiences like that to draw on. How do you get the best out of Robinson Cano? How do you get the best out of Juan Lagares? And you look at a guy who's done it and you say, well, maybe he can do it here too.
Anthony, it seems like the entire winter we heard reports of the Mets flirting with the possibility of trading for a big-name shortstop, whether it was Troy Tulowitzki from the Rockies or Ian Desmond with the Nationals. Reportedly, the asking price for Desmond was too much. The Mets did not want to throw in Noah Syndergaard. So I guess a two-part question. Is Syndergaard untouchable, and do you still think the Mets would entertain the possibility, the notion of getting a Tulowitzki or a Desmond?
No one's untouchable, quote unquote, but Syndergaard's probably the closest thing. They've held on to him for this long. They held on to him last year when his value was probably quite a bit higher than it is right now. So I don't think it's in their best interest to trade him. And really, that just sort of goes into Sandy Alderson's philosophy as a GM in general. He does not like parting with young pitching. He thinks the key to that is depth, which the Mets finally have now. And, you know, it's true because you look at their rotation on paper, 1-5, it may not necessarily be as good as what they have up in Washington or some other places around the league. But the Mets can go 6, 7, 8 deep and really not sacrifice that much quality, which when you're looking over the course of 162-game season and no one uses just 5 starters, that's huge. And that can be the difference between, you know, making a run in August when other teams are starting to deal with those injuries and fading away as they've done in recent years. As for Wilmer Flores, they like him. I think there's some skeptical optimism about what he can do, particularly defensively. You know, he made most of the plays that he was supposed to make last year, but he did show some of the deficiencies that, you know, that scouts have talked about for years with this guy. He's not the rangiest guy. He has gotten himself into better shape, and we'll see this year, you know, whether that translates into being at least an average defensive shortstop, because they like the bat. They think he can hit, and if he turns into that guy that they think, a guy who can hit, say, I don't know, 275, 280 with 15 home runs, then that's huge from the shortstop position. You don't see that a lot these days. So that's why, in a nutshell, they weren't really willing to go out and give up two or three valuable young pieces for a guy who would either cost a ton of money or would only be under team control for a year or both.
Anthony, tell us a little bit about the health of David Wright and how he's doing and progressing in spring.
Oh, he's healthy. He's completely 100% healthy. The question is, can he remain so? You know, we know that shoulder hurt him a lot last year. We don't know how much it affected his production, but I'd be willing to bet more than he's ever let on, really. But you got to take a step back and look at this guy now. He's 32 years old. He's had pretty major injury concerns in three of the last four seasons where he's missed a month, in some cases 2 months. You know, these things are going to keep popping up for a guy his age. Now, he's taken steps to safeguard against it. He says he's eating better. He's, you know, doing a new fitness program with a lot of these Mets, but he's been down here since the new year taking part in this Barwis Methods fitness program they set up here. So he's doing and saying all the right things in terms of that. But, again, at 32 years old, you got to go out there and prove it. You know, he's going to have to take that stray off day here and there that he's been very reluctant to take in the past over the course of the season because, you know, if all of a sudden he's playing on that barking hamstring and he misses 3 weeks, that's going to hurt this offense a lot. The Mets are looking at 150 games for him, and, you know, I think if he hits that number, he'll be productive. It's just a matter of hitting that number.
Anthony, you mentioned Michael Kadire briefly already. There's no question the guy can hit, but given his age, given recent injury woes with Kadire, and given the fact that the Mets had to sacrifice an amateur draft pick to get him, was that move a bit of a head-scratcher in your estimation?
Well, it is, certainly. If you look at it objectively in a vacuum like that, you can certainly wonder why the Mets did what they did. But, you know, again, this team feels it's in contention this year for a playoff spot. They don't want to wait till next year. And if they're not willing to go ahead and, say, make the splashy move at shortstop or give up some of that young pitching, sometimes you got to take a risk elsewhere. You know, it's hard to just make that leap into contention without taking any risks at all. And the Mets really, throughout the rebuilding process, didn't do that. You know, they traded some guys for prospects when they were at the back end of their contracts, not a lot of team control left, things like that, the Carlos Beltrans and the Marlon Byrds of the world. But really, if you want to get to that next level, you got to take a risk. And they decided that Michael Kadire was the one that they wanted to take. I think their farm system is deep enough that giving up a draft pick won't really hurt them long term. And you know, even more than that, they looked at what outfield options were available in free agency and kind of went, ooh, like, you know, there wasn't a ton. There wasn't a ton that fit their system of what they like to do. You know, Sandy Ellison loves guys with power potential. And they really targeted Michael Kadire early on and said, this is the guy. And, you know, that's the risk they decided to take. More than shortstop, more than some other areas they could have maybe upgraded, you know, they decided that Kadire was the guy. And for better or for worse, now it's a matter of, just like David Wright, seeing if he can stay healthy, because the track record does say that if he's healthy, he can produce.
Anthony, you just mentioned that the Mets plan on contending, and if they do contend, it's going to be a large part because of this rotation. Very deep, like you mentioned, six deep. Tell us a little bit about how Matt Harvey's progression has, you know, gone. And also, who's the odd? If all these guys stay healthy, you have, you know, G. Colon and DeGrom, Wheeler. Who's the odd man out?
Yeah, well, I mean, Matt Harvey might as well be the president the way he's walking around spring training with media and coaches and fans and just everyone following his every move. And he looks good. I mean, he hasn't really been tested yet in significant game action. And even once he starts getting into these Grapefruit League games, you're going to want to wait until deep in spring to see how he fares 3-4 innings. But, you know, all the indications are that he looks good. The velocity is there. The command maybe even there better than we expected. And that's what the Mets hoped for by holding him out, not letting him pitch last September. They've done all their studies that show that a guy coming off Tommy John surgery, 17 months removed from the surgery, which is what Harvey will be. Guys like that fare a lot better than the ones who try and come back 11, 12, 13 months. So they're very excited about that. And yes, it does create six guys for five spots, but they kind of headed that off at the very start of spring training. It looks like Dylan Gee is ticketed for the bullpen. You know, there could be an 11th hour trade here as we get to the end of camp, but I really don't see it. I think more likely you're going to have Dylan Gee in that swingman role. He'll do a little long relief. He'll fill in the rotation if needed. And like I said earlier, no team gets through the season with just five starters. Most of them go through 8, 9, 10 or more. And just because Dylan Gee starts the season in the bullpen, I don't think there's any question that he's going to see plenty of starts throughout the course of the summer.
Anthony, of the younger guys in this rotation, you know, Zach Wheeler and Noah Syndergaard are the ones with the pedigrees and the prospect buzz surrounding them. But could Jacob deGrom be the one to really be the breakout star of that trio? Of course, he's coming off his Rookie of the Year honors in 2014.
Yeah, I don't know how much more he can break out. I mean, he came from, like you said, virtually no buzz, nothing. I remember sitting here in spring training last year and really not knowing much about the guy at all. I had heard his name, but didn't know a lot. And then all of a sudden you look up and he's in the rotation. Then you look up again and he's Rookie of the Year. So you look at his stats and what he did last year, he got better at a lot of very specific things. He struck out guys a lot more. And he also showed an ability to adapt. There was a little stretch around midsummer where he struggled for a while. And I think a lot of people looked at it and said, well, okay, you know, the glass slipper no longer fits. And then all he did was just turn right back around and make the adjustments. And his September was as good, if not better, than anyone else's in baseball. So, you know, you look at the numbers, and while you can probably expect a little bit of a drop-off, only because it's really hard for any pitcher to do what he did last year, I don't think you can expect a ton. And then, you know, the other name that you mentioned, Zach Wheeler, I think is a guy who, from a Mets perspective, that's maybe the guy you look at and say, this guy can be a lot better than he was last year. You look at Zach Wheeler's last 12, 13, 14 starts, he had a sub-3 ERA, he was striking guys out. He found a little more of the command and the control that he didn't necessarily show early in the summer. And he's another guy who's shown the ability to know how to adapt. He understands his mechanics better than maybe any pitcher I've seen on the staff. He knows what he's doing wrong when he does it wrong, and he showed an ability to correct those things. So if there's a guy who, you know, Mets fans can really get excited about, is a guy who has the potential to go from a mid-rotation guy to maybe an upper-rotation guy, I think Wheeler, you know, fits all the criteria. It's just a matter of him going out now and doing it.
Our thanks to Anthony DeComo, MLB.com Mets reporter. For Jeff Nelson, I'm Matt Wehmeyer, thanking you for joining us on MLB.com Extras New York Mets.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.